Well, hello and welcome to the latest edition of the ASI Cast. I am Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and with us this edition, we're kicking off a series of podcasts in the run-up to our annual conference in Venice in November by having a series of the on-stage talent that we're going to be featuring at the event. And today's guest is Sameer Modha of ITV. So, hello, Sameer.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now, at last year's conference, Sameer talked about the rising importance of being able to report outcomes when it came to evaluating campaigns and for media planning. And today's podcast is particularly well timed. We didn't design it this way, but it worked out well because last week, Sameer and ITV, along with Channel 4 and Sky in the UK, launched a major new project called Lantern, which is very much focused on the issues that Sameer talked about at last year's conference. So, firstly, can you tell us a little bit about how this joint venture came about in the first place, Samir?
Yeah, sure. So we'd been talking for a while, I guess, under the auspices of Thinkbox. So they'd sort of convened a bunch of people who were interested in outcome measurement, and we were sort of chatting and just trying to understand what we were all doing, how that would work for the industry. And over time, we found that we agreed on a lot of stuff. You know, we agreed that fundamentally tele ads are a great ad product. That it's a bit confrontational to describe it as the threat to that, but the risk to that product is really not from each other, but from the platform ad products, which come, whatever we think about them, you know, which come with much more persuasive to finance measurement of what they delivered for the advertiser. And then the other thing I think we converged on is that from a technical perspective, I guess there's a sweet spot, which is digital intermediate outcomes. So, you know, obviously, the further towards purchase you go, or even beyond purchase to price elasticity or something exotic like that, the more that that finance will kind of sit up and listen and go, oh, right, so you're making us more money. Good, carry on. Whereas the more towards a brand survey you go, or something like that, or even a brand lift, the less persuasive it is, but also the easier to measure. You know, one could go and commission a study of brand, and it's easy to show brand lift. And the sweet spot felt like it was in the middle with these sorts of online outcomes, whether that's searches or site visits, because from a data point of view, there's enough of those events that you can statistically hope to show a relationship to them. But also from an advertiser point of view, they're persuasive. And then it sort of fell out fairly naturally from that, because you think, okay, well, how could we do this? How could we get to a large panel of outcome data, and then we link the TV exposures to it? And then we said, well, okay, that's something we can do between us. It's a bit expensive, but collectively we've got the resources to do that. Let's give it a go. And that was it. That was how we got to it, really.
So let's talk a bit about how you've actually created the product. I don't want to go into massive detail, but clearly there's two things that you need to be measuring. You need to be measuring the exposure, the viewing, as you said, and the outcome. So taking the viewing element first, how are you actually tracking and measuring viewing? What are your data sources for that?
So, for the proof of concept, we've got two. There'll be the viewing data from UV boxes, and then from the Sky panel as well. Now, you know, people who do audience measurement will sort of have a sharp intake of breath. Oh, that's not enough. You've got to be much more representative, and so on. Actually, for the purposes of outcome measurement, it doesn't really matter that much. The key thing is to have a large scale. I mean, between those two, that's about 6 million households. You know, you need a large scale of intelligent tellies which remember which ads they showed, and that's the sort of key bit on the exposure side.
Yeah, as you say, it's more about the relationship between the exposure and the outcome that you're measuring than the absolute levels of either. So I guess that makes sense. I guess the key thing, obviously, is how are you defining a viewer? I mean, what are you? Is this based around TVRs, impressions? How will you actually be quantifying from those data sources whether someone was or wasn't exposed to the ad?
So we won't, in a sense, we won't be. I mean, I suppose the closest that we're using effectively is an impression. So it's the device played the ad with a particular clock number at a particular point in time. And really, that's all we know. So we're not overlaying any of the sort of viewer per view type things, or any, this is very much household level. And our approach is that because we're doing causal lift, so because we're comparing the lift in the outcome of an exposed group versus a control group, as long as that's randomized properly, everything else drops out. And so we're not measuring viewing for its own sake. The exposure data is simply a way of partitioning into exposed and control. And so to the extent that if we say that the household was exposed, and so they're in our treatment group, if you like, if actually the person that was exposed isn't then someone that went on to buy, all we've done is weaken our own experiment. So we haven't harmed anyone. We haven't made a sort of inflated claim to the advertiser. All we've done is weaken the experiment a bit. So the consequences are more benign than they would be in the audience measurement case.
And how are you, is there any attempt in the modelling around this to isolate out other exposures? For example, if you've got someone down as not being exposed, but that's because they didn't watch on the main TV set and were exposed on a mobile or an upstairs TV. Is that again not particularly relevant?
At this stage, no, not certainly not for the POC. We're not, the POC is very simple. It's just the linear exposures. There's no VOD, and it will be typically a nominated device. So again, that you're right. If they manage to expose themselves, sorry, that sounds wrong, doesn't it? If they were exposed on another device in the household that we weren't aware of, then again, that weakens the gap between test and control because that's a control group exposure. So, we've given aspirin to the person that we said the household that we said we weren't going to give aspirin to, but it's a benign consequence. It just weakens the power a bit. As long as we've got enough scale and we randomize, that should be okay, I think.
Yeah, I guess from an advertiser's perspective, if you're comparing the exposed to the control, if the control includes some people who are exposed, all that means is you're actually sort of being quite modest and underestimating the impact. You see what I mean? So it's not like you're overclaiming, you might potentially be slightly underclaiming.
Yes, no, exactly. And I'd rather err on the side of that. I suppose the only thing that is worth mentioning is obviously, your listeners will be very aware of the perils of set-top box type data, and boxes are left on. Jeff was telling the story of the famous Barb respondent who'd sort of, have half an hour of the TV being off. And we had to sort of, it was an extremely heavy viewer who just had the TV on for company. And so we will be applying sort of the capping algorithms to make sure that we don't drag in lots of exposures where it was only the device that was exposed and no human actually saw the ad, because that would mess things up quite a bit, we think.
Yeah, I was involved nearly 20 years ago in some of the first capping algorithms, which were huge fun to try and work out the algorithms for, not least when you finally worked it out. Something like the Super Bowl will come along with valid 9-hour viewing sessions and things like that. But
Of course,
I
yes.
know Sky have got very advanced algorithms to sort out that sort of thing, not least with Jeff Eales' involvement, who you mentioned, who will also be talking at a conference in Venice, and hopefully we'll be chatting to him soon as well. So, okay, so we've defined an exposure. What about an outcome? Where is that data coming from? Is it coming from the advertisers partnering with you to make their data available, or have you got other sources?
Ah, right. Yes. So that was, in many ways, the advertiser outcome data access was one of the motivations for doing this, because whilst, all of us, all of the measurement teams, Sky's, Channel 4's, ours, We have productive relationships with advertisers where they share that, you know, they give us their Google Analytics data or whatever it happens to be. It's still slow because it's one advertiser at a time. You've got to get the tag onto the site in some cases, depending on the vendor you're using. And that really limits the scope. And not only that, but you know, we've every measurement person, I think, has been in a situation where a salesperson or a, you know, someone from the agency team comes to them and says, so the campaign finished last week. Can you tell me what it did? Just look at them and go, no, because you didn't come and talk to me beforehand. Oh, no, but I said that we'd measure it. Well, yes, but you didn't tell me. So there was no measurement in place. So it sort of the nice thing about using a standing outcome panel that is collecting all the outcomes all the time is that you can actually give that person a more positive response, and you get a bunch of other metrics as well. So effectively, you know, because we all have lots of electronic devices, which we are, you know, call it surveillance capitalism if you like, you know, we're all documenting our lives and the sites that we visit and the searches that we do. All of that is available. Now, there's two main strategies, I think, for doing that. There's some companies, so Reality Mine are the most obvious, and they run software on the device that is reasonably, I was going to say invasive, but that sounds wrong, reasonably intimate, I suppose, and sees everything you do on the device and then reports back on that. And that has some pros and cons. You know, it used to be that battery life was a problem and VPNs are a problem, and it's sort of got a lot better. So that's one strategy. The company that we're working with, Measure Protocol, they have a different approach. So they tend to go more at the account level. So, you know, if I log into my Google account, effectively it has all of the searches I've done for the past 18 months, and I'm able to view those. Or in some cases, like an Amazon account, I can go in and download my data, and it will download all of the purchases that I've made in my Amazon account from, you know, GDPR purposes or whatever. And those sources of account level data are quite powerful, because then it doesn't matter whether I did the search on my PC or on my phone, it's all there as long as we can gather it.
So this is less about using clean rooms to link, you know, advertiser databases with your data. If you've got something that's always on, then you don't necessarily need that to sort of set up a measurement beforehand. I guess the question is how is the link being made? Are these a subset of people on the UView and Sky panels? Do they opt in? Is it all the 5 or 6 million people you mentioned, do you ever got access
Oh,
to?
you have to give us time. Not yet is the answer. So I think the sort of on the Thinkbox site, it says publicly that there'll be this proof of concept, which is a very compact and bijou panel, which will be, I mean, I don't know the exact number yet because we're still recruiting to that. And I'll come back to your question about how we're doing
I
that.
don't know.
And
No, it's
then.
fine. I don't need an absolute number. I just guess the key point I was making is that you are recruiting, having explained how you've got people's exposure data. You are recruiting them actively at the moment, the same people or some of them, to take the outcomes measurement collection element.
Yes,
So
that's
it's
right. So we're doing the. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go.
no. It's fine. So effectively, well, again, this is a single source panel.
Yes, we're leaning to the language of multi-outcome panel for slightly obscure reasons, but it does emphasize the thing that we care about most of this, which is that we're deliberately capturing a range of outcomes. So I guess, you know, in the days of John Philip Jones and so on, you know, there were absolutely panels like that, but they tended to focus on maybe one or two key outcomes. Whereas here we have a sort of breadth of outcome data because we will have searches and purchases and content consumption, and brands will leave a trace across all of those things, and we've got a way of adding all of that up. So the outcome is multidimensional, if you like. And then the way that we're recruiting is, so there's some people already on Measure Protocol's panel, which has been running for quite a while now, who we can check and we can see, oh right, these are also Sky's analysts or they have a UView device because that's something that you might know as a consumer, and you could say that to the panel company. And then for the boost that we're doing, you're right, we'll sort of preferentially recruit people where we get a hit against the 4 million or the 2 million. So it's a slightly, obviously we need to be sort of quite mindful of everybody's data protections. And so the way it works is that the panelist or a potential new panelist is approached. They sort of start the process of joining the panel. And as part of that, they get asked some qualification questions, one of which might be sharing a, some sort of identifier, the serial number on your box or something like that. Then behind the scenes, there's a lookup. There's a sort of oracle that says, yes, we recognize that number, and yes, that person is in one of these panels, because the user can't necessarily know. You can't, as a Sky subscriber, there is nothing you can do and no menu you can go into which will tell you whether you're part of the actual panel or not. And so you need an oracle, because then obviously if someone says they're a Sky viewer, but they're not in that 4 million, there's no point pursuing them through the recruitment process. Whereas if somebody was a hit for the 4 million, then the recruitment team will then lavish effort and attention on that panelist to try and persuade them to join.
I guess in both cases, though, it's in terms of the panel task. There is none other than consent. There's no questionnaires filled in or buttons pressed. So it's a fairly, I'd imagine, once it's up and running, a fairly cost-effective type of panel because it's more
Yeah, it
in the
is,
people
because
on
it's.
it rather than having to heavily incentivize them or remind them to press their button or fill in their questionnaire.
Yeah, it's a mixture actually. So they do quite a weird, I think quite a weird but interesting technique. So, which has some lovely consequences from a privacy point of view. So let's say you're giving your search history. The way it works, and this sounds Byzantine, but it does actually work very well, is that you load your search history on your phone, and then you start recording the screen, and then you scroll through the entire search history for the period that you've been asked to look at. And then you send off the video to Measure Protocol. Then they do, your face is a picture of the room. They do optical
No,
character recognition on the video to
yeah, because
re-extract the text. And then that becomes the data. And the reason that's I like that is that as a consumer, you are in absolutely no doubt about what you have shared. You've
yes.
literally touched the data on the screen of your phone as it went through your hands before you sent it off. And the other nice thing about that is that they could be given tasks retrospectively. So the other thing, about panels like this of yours is you had to set them up, and then you had to wait to gather data before you had a decent cube of data to look at. But because all of this is stored in the accounts, we can give the panelists retrospective tasks. So effectively, by the end of the year, we think we'll have 2 years worth of back data from sort of June 22 to June 2024, even though some of those panelists will only have been recruited in December 24.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach to back data. I know the measurement enthusiasts in our audience will be loving this bit, but some of the others might be saying, widen it out, widen it out. So I'm going to widen back out
Okay,
again.
cool.
That's really fascinating. We'll pick up on that in some elements of that in Venice. But in terms of where it sits for ITV, presumably this would be a complement to Sea Flight, which is very specifically about cross-platform post-campaign analysis. So does this sit alongside Sea Flight? Are there any plans to link it together?
It's funny, one of the first questions I got, I think it was Richard Kirk on the LinkedIn thread where I sort of brought this up. He said, so will there be a unified login for Sea Flight? Which is lovely that he was thinking that far ahead. We don't even know, when we come to the RFP, we don't know what the contracting entity will be. So we'll do the proof of concept, then there'll be an RFP for a bigger version of the panel, and the POC will inform the RFP, and we'll figure out, how big the panel needs to be to really measure most campaigns and so on. At that point, there'll need to be a contracting entity, and that's still a live conversation. We don't know, that could it the listener's imagination would be as good as mine. It could be Barb, it could be Thinkbox, it could be, I don't know, Clearcast, it could be some new joint venture that we spin up for the purpose. So that then means that it won't necessarily be seen, unless it's Barb, it won't necessarily be seen alongside CFlight. But in a way, I think they're complementary more than part of the same process. So, if you think UK media money is roughly 60-40, 60 spent on outcome denominated products and 40 on eyeball denominated products. So for the 40%, I mean, obviously it's higher for video, but go with that for now. For the part that is denominated in eyeballs, absolutely, CFlight's there to join all of that up and say, okay, this is what you actually got for your money across all of these things combined. And this is the Lantern is there to do the same, but almost for the other pot of money, which is the outcome denominated pot. So in that world, what you care about is the range of outcomes that were delivered. And we think that, well, not think, we know from a lot of the work we've done already that telly actually is delivering a lot. It hasn't been getting the sort of outcome measurement it deserves. So there's other things that are sort of taking credit and what have you. And that's So I don't. They're sort of orthogonal in my mind because you're right. You could do a, well, let's use them as a stepping stone and see whether campaigns that delivered more incremental reach also then went on to deliver better sort of incremental outcomes. And that might be something that we get to in the future. But it's in a way that's the deduped reach piece is part of the world that we're moving away from, I think, whereas most of the spend is in the outcome world now.
I think that's very much what you were talking about in your paper that you delivered at ASI last year, which went down very well. I mean, moving slightly away from Lantern, because we'll come back to the conference, obviously you presented at Nice last year, which I think was your first ASI conference. I mean, how was it for you, and what are you particularly looking forward to this year aside from delivering your own paper?
It was brilliant. I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but I sort of felt, I don't, this doesn't sound pompous, it sort of felt like a homecoming in a weird way. I felt like, okay, I found this is my tribe. These are people who worry about the same things that I do and think about them and care about them. Okay, I was provocative with the sort of the outcomes piece, whereas it's classically the center of gravity is maybe more an audience measurement. But it was just brilliant to see that group of people. And it was also, I mean, sparing your blushes, but you, Mike, everybody in that community were incredibly welcoming. Sometimes these things can be, I know people worry about them sort of being a bit cliquey or what have you, but it was just the opposite of that. What I just found was a lot of people who were really interested in the challenges and wanted to join in and think about how to solve them. And then the content is great because it's global. There's lots of interesting things that are happening elsewhere, and just getting to learn about that's an incredibly stimulating time. I came away with loads of ideas, and sort of we changed a lot of what we were doing as a result of what we learned.
Well, that's good to hear. You're going to be on stage in our Friday morning advertising session, and we'll be talking more about this exciting Lantern initiative. And listeners can see the agenda and book your place, blatant plug, at asiconferences.com. But in the meantime, thanks, Samir, for joining us, and we will see you in Venice.
Thanks very much. See you then.